But we want to jump in this morning. This is the third and the final series, the third part of our series, For Such a Time as This. And I'm going to open up with prayer before we get any farther and just welcome the Holy Spirit to move today. Do you want him to move?
Yeah.
Well, let's pray and welcome him in. Holy Spirit, we welcome you to move, to speak, to move on our hearts, that we would respond. And we want to say right now that whatever you want us to do, whatever response that you desire from us, whatever will please you most, show us that and help us to respond in that way, God. We surrender our minds, our hearts, our bodies even to you, that you would have your way, that we could please you with every fiber in our body this morning. We ask all of this in your holy name, Jesus. Amen. You ready?
Yeah.
All right, well, let's jump in. Like I mentioned before, this is the third and final part of our series, For Such a Time as This. And this sermon this morning is entitled Inconceivable. And if you'll recognize that word, it's often used in a famous cult classic movie where he just uses it over and over again. Inconceivable for everything that happens. It's inconceivable. And the more you use that word, the less it really means. The less it really means. But it means unimaginable. You could not imagine that ever even happening. And if we keep using that, it becomes irrelevant. But as we look at the passage today, this passage is going to be pretty inconceivable. Pretty inconceivable. And the man in our story views it that way as well. And before we jump in, we need to know that our God is imaginative. And he is creative. And he is really inconceivable. He is that. And church, that is the norm. That's the normal for life with God. If you've been a Christian for very long and you've been very passionate, you'll probably recognize some times in your life where God came through in an inconceivable way. Have you ever been there? That just kind of hit you at a left side. You had no idea that God was planning that all along. And that is life with Christ. But watch this. If your dreams are capable of happening without God, they are not big enough. And they might not be from God. Because God stretches us. You ever been stretched? He stretches us. The God who in a moment breaks addiction free. The God who in a moment provides all you need. The God who in a moment raises the dead. And the God who in a moment fed 5,000 people with some small fish and bread. Inconceivable. We read these stories and we get so used to hearing them that we forget just how amazing that is. How amazing God is and how he works beyond our imaginations. So, do you have promises from God that you are still waiting on? Or dreams and visions from him that seem almost inconceivable? God plants things in us, he gives us these things to accomplish, but he wants them to be so far beyond what we do that it's only through him that they can be accomplished. Because watch this, when our dreams and desires are like that, we have to depend on God. We have to depend on God. I think God wants to awaken some things this morning. Or maybe give some new dreams, vision, and direction to us this morning, but ones that can only be done in him. I want you to think about that for a moment, because that is actually really exciting. Or that is really hopeful. It is really hopeful that God wants to do something in you and in this church. What is stirring in you that it might be time to come to life? Our passage this morning is found in Ezekiel chapter 37. But before we get there, we're going to look at the prior chapter for just a few verses, chapter 36 in the book of Ezekiel. And it says this in verse 22. It says, "Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake. The things God wants to do in your life are to give God glory. It's not so we can have an easy, cush life, although we do get to enjoy blessings from the Lord, but God wants to do things in your life that will firstly give him glory. And church, I want you to think about this, because it's different than the American dream and culture. It's different than what the world wants us to think. And that is that it is our honor and privilege to give God glory, to do things for him and not receive it ourselves. Because watch this, when he elevates you, it's so you can elevate him. And when he blesses you, it's so you can bless him and bless others. And when he gives to you, it's so you can give to him and give to others. Everything that God does should turn around and give him glory. Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 through 28, we see what God is after for us. And that is this: the things that he wants to do in us through all that we go through, what he is about to reveal in the next chapter, which is our main portion this morning, it's for this reason. Let's read it. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. That means a soft heart. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God." That last part, "you shall be my people, and I will be your God." God wants you to be his, and he wants him to be yours. He wants to dwell with you and show himself to you. And the next few verses go into all that the Lord would do for Israel. But it caps it off with verse 32 saying, "Not for your sake do I do this." God wants to bless you because you are his child. But he does this to show us and show the world who he is. That's what Israel was meant for, to show the world that he is God, that they would know him as well. It's like this, an orphan child seeing you and saying, "Man, I wish I had your dad." And the best news is, you can. In that, he receives all the glory. So everything that you do, your whole life, should testify of the greatness of God. So we start in verse 38 with, "that they shall know that I am the Lord." That is what your life is about. You are a child of God, and your mission is to let the orphans know he will adopt them. Let's read this morning in Ezekiel chapter 37. Verses 1 through 14, Ezekiel chapter 37. "The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Surely I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, a sudden rattling. And the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over. But there was no breath in them. Also, he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, Our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land, O Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live. I will place you in your own land. You shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. It's an incredible passage of Scripture. It is inconceivable in our minds. But I want to look this morning at three things: the hand of the Lord, the voice of the Lord, and the Spirit of the Lord. Our passage this morning is a type of Scripture that is called prophetic literature. And that means that it had a meaning in its day, it has a meaning in the future, and that it has a meaning that we can glean from today as well. But it ties our hope to the return of Christ and all that will happen in the nation of Israel. It ties that to our present hope that Christ is here and the battles we face and what we are meant to do. So let's jump into verse 1 as we look at the hand of the Lord. Verse 1 opens with that statement, the hand of the Lord. This is a reference to God's strength, a reference to his spirit, and we see that later in the verse. But we see that it is the hand of God leading the prophet out. Are you thankful that God sometimes leads us by the hand? Are you thankful that sometimes God pushes us with that same hand? Amen? But the point is, the prophet is being led by the Spirit of God. Do you want to be led by the Spirit of God this morning? And he is brought out of the place that he was. Sometimes God leads us out of where we are so he can speak and to show something that we need to hear and see. Sometimes that place is from a comfortable place. He leads us to the wilderness so we can see and learn something. Don't be upset when God takes you out of what is comfortable because he wants to show you something. If you're going through a rough, hard patch, there is something to be seen and heard and learned, and more importantly, you want to do it with the Lord. He's leading you by the hand, and he's leading you further into his presence. And watch this, he takes him out of something that was probably comfortable, and he leads him to a place full of dead bones. We get it wrong sometimes. We feel like God should only lead us to comfortable places. We subconsciously think about that sometimes. God, this is the devil. Like, this is not you. You ever been there? Sometimes God leads you to a hard place because, watch this, he expects something to happen. He expects something to happen in you and in that place. A place that seems like death. God leads you to hard places. Sometimes you've got to come to a place of death or let something die because God wants to bring in life. And this just wasn't a bone or two. It was a valley of bones, a valley of death. You ever feel like you come into that? Everywhere you look is just more letdown and hardship. Do you know that God is not put off by death? He is not put off by the impossible. Even if you see and are in a valley of death, God sees the inconceivable and God raises the dead. Remember this, it is not too far gone. It is not too far gone. Whatever that thing you hope against hope for, it is not too far gone. I find it interesting that the valley of death did not really astonish Ezekiel that we know of. And I feel like sometimes we get used to death and defeat so much that we forget who God is. That we forget that we are next to life itself. Verse 2 says, the Lord caused him to pass by all around. God wants us to see the extensiveness sometimes of what we're going through. Not so that we get depressed or so that we are weary, but so that we see the extensiveness of the power of God that is about to move. He is about to show you, and he wants you to realize his greatness. The testimony he is about to give you far outweighs what you've seen before. He is the Almighty God. And scholars think that this is the same valley that was talked about in the first chapter of Ezekiel. And in the first chapter of Ezekiel, he sees a glimpse of God. He sees a glimpse of the Almighty. And he gets a call from the Lord for what he is meant for. In the place where you felt like there used to be life, and now you see that there is death, life is coming back. Because God never left. So when you see the death and all the things you hoped for gone, look around you and think to yourself, I serve a great God. And hallelujah, there's a lot of glory for him to get here. Come on, Jesus, I'm ready. So Ezekiel sees that the bones aren't just there, but it says that they are very dry. And that phrase means that they had been dead a long time. In fact, and any ounce of life, the marrow inside of the bone, was gone. And that is the state of Israel's hope in this passage. All hope was gone. All life, there was none to be seen. Have you ever been in that situation? God likes to bring hope to a hopeless situation. He likes to bring life to a dead valley. And the answer is probably not what you're going to expect. Because he is the inconceivable God. He's going to do something that you probably did not imagine or think about. Because that is what is going to give him most glory. And that's what he's going to do. He's going to, in every situation, do what will give him the most glory. And church, we need to partner with that. So if that means I have to go through some things, I'm going to be okay with that. Because my love for God and my want for him to get glory says yes. And that's the picture of Jesus, even in the Garden of Gethsemane. Take this cup, if you will, if let it pass. And God says, no. And Jesus obeys because it gives the Father glory. Church, is that your heart this morning? That everything that you do would be for the Lord. It's going to give him the most glory and show the most people who he is. And not just show them, but that they might come to him to save them. Your life and your testimony should bring people to Christ. You have been raised from the death of sin to life in Christ. You have been raised to life. Church, are you testifying to those around you that you have life? So in verse 3, Ezekiel is asked the question, can these bones live? I ask you, that hopeless situation, that lost dream, the deadness in your life, the things that you are hoping for, can these bones live? Can this church come alive like never before? Can this valley come to Christ? Can these bones live? And Ezekiel answers with such wisdom. He says, oh, Lord God, you know. I don't know. You know. Sometimes we just need to look to heaven and say, God, you only know. I'm open for what you want to do. I'm struggling sometimes with unbelief or hardship or hopelessness or depression and not knowing what is possible, but I believe in you. And in you, according to Matthew 19, 26, all things are possible with God. God, you know. You know. And in verse 4, it says, prophesy to these bones. Hear the word of the Lord. First, you carry the life of Christ inside of you. So you speak into that situation. You pray into that situation, the very life that is inside of you. And number 2, you pray and you speak these things because it is the will of God. That's what Ezekiel was speaking into, by the will of God. So if you know his word and you know his spirit speaking to you, the hand of the Lord, then you know that he brings light and he brings life and he brings love into any situation that he comes into. So you speak into it and you invite the Lord in and he brings the light. He brings to life. He brings the love in that you need. God can enter into any death and bring life. Can these bones live? Yes. Emphatically, yes. Inconceivably, yes. And as we see the hand of the Lord in our lives, leading us into and through these areas, sometimes out of the status quo or out of our comfort zones, we see that God always leads to life. Remember that. He leads to life. And not just life, but life more abundantly. That means where you are right now, it can be better because you can know Jesus more. You can reach more people around you and let them know Jesus more. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit more. We see that he always leads to life. We see his hand moving, and now we hear his voice. It's point number two. We see his hand, we hear his voice. Verse 5 is the Lord speaking. Thus says the Lord, surely I will. We need to trust the promise of God. But we also need to make sure we know the promises of God. And that it is him speaking, because church, Satan knows the Bible really well. And he can twist it in our minds and from other people. He can twist it in a preacher's voice. He can twist it what you think you heard but was not meant. He can twist it, and he will. So we have to know the promises of God. We have to know the voice of the Lord speaking. So we can say to our enemy, that is not God, and I will not listen, but this is what the scripture says. So the Lord rebuke you. We don't go around telling things or people, thus says the Lord, unless he did say it. I knew a teacher once that meant really well. And she had a student come up and say, I don't have gas for my car. So they started praying. And they poured a bunch of water into that gas tank, expecting God to turn it into gasoline, and blew that engine up. We have to make sure we know God's voice so you don't blow your life up or someone else's. We need to be careful expecting God to do something when sometimes we are fully capable of meeting that need. And God intends to use us. Watch this. If we pray for Wasilla to know Jesus but we don't tell anyone, that is on us. If we pray for the homeless in Wasilla, in our valley, and Anchorage, but we don't go do anything about it, then that is on us. Because the answer to a lot of prayers is us. What are we doing? Watch this, the connection between verses 5 and 6 and verse 7. The Lord tells that he will cause breath to enter, and flesh to come back, and life to be raised. But in verse 7, Ezekiel has to step out in faith to see these things happen. The end of verse 6 says this, then you shall know that I am the Lord. Between the promise and the fulfillment, there are a few things that have to take place. I'm going to say that again. Between the promise and the fulfillment of that promise, there has to be faith. You've got to believe that God can do it. And then you've got to trust in him and have confidence that he will do it. And finally, you have to step out in faith that he's going to do it. Standing on a hill yelling at some bones to come back to life looks foolish. And I know that's a dream or a vision, but how many times has God told us to do something and we haven't? I've been guilty of that. And in verse 7, Ezekiel steps out and speaks to these bones, and there starts a rattling, a noise, a shaking. The bones come together, bone to bone. And sometimes there's going to be some noise going on in your life because God is beginning to shake things up. And that is okay. You know God is at work. Don't be afraid when things are starting to get shaken up because things are about to come back to life. And the bones come together bone to bone. Now the bones represent here the whole house of Israel. Every bone had a place that it belonged and connected. Now this is a vision, But in order for the army of the Lord to advance, it had to come together and connect. There needs to be a place where you and I belong and connect for the army of the Lord to advance. Watch this. There can be no dead relationships in the church, as much as there can be no dead people in the church. Ouch. And it is after this, though, after they come together, that the breath of life enters in. You see, God wants to move where there is unity. Unity in the church, but not just us. Unity in the churches, because it's the kingdom of God. It's God's one church. We have one church, the church of the valley, the church of the kingdom of God under one king. And when we come together, God is going to move. In fact, I cannot think of a time in the Bible or in history when the church came together that God did not move. But at this point in the vision, there was no life yet. I think in verse 8 is a good message to us. The sinews and the flesh was there. The skin was there. And they looked alive, but they were still dead. We have to make sure that everything we do has the breath of God on it and the Holy Spirit in it. What we can accomplish on our own, there are a lot of things that we can. But it's nothing and meaningless without the Spirit of God on it. All the good things we can do, the programs we can create, don't matter unless we're being obedient to the Holy Spirit. Our prayer should be that as we follow the Lord's plan, as we step out in faith, His breath will be breathed on to that thing, to that family member, to your family in general, to your job, to whatever it is. Do you know that God wants to be in it? He wants to anoint you to make a difference. He wants His breath to breathe into a place. Can you imagine that when you walk into a room at work or at home, the breath of God is there? You want to be that type of parent, that type of spouse, that type of worker, where you bring in, because you walk in, the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. A good example of this to me is, many of you guys know I play guitar, or I play at guitar, for any of the really good guitar players here. But I know a guy that when he plays, I've seen people cry. Because when he does it, it is anointed by the Spirit of God. What would happen if we lived that way? If when you are stapling something at work, it's like you're stapling something in the kingdom of God. And something about the way you stapled that made someone cry. He's an inconceivable God, and He can work through you doing something as small as that as much as someone playing a guitar. You want the breath of God on your life. We must recognize that the Spirit of God wants to move. Anything we do as believers can be anointed if God is in it. But watch this, it's time spent in the presence of God that welcomes His presence at every moment of your life. The presence of God. In verse 9, Ezekiel prophesies to the breath. Under the direction of the Lord, he prophesies. Anytime you are using the gift of prophecy that's found throughout Scripture, and it's also found in Ephesians 4, 1 Corinthians 14, and Romans 12, but you have to make sure it is the Lord. and you don't interject yourself into it. I say that because I want you to know this. It is a gift that we need to exercise more. It is such a regular event in the New Testament that in 1 Corinthians 14:29, Paul tells them only two or three in a service. We've got to get through all the other things. We've got to teach. We've got to worship and do these things. So only hold your prophecies back for just two or three a service. It's a gift that God wants in His church. And church, be free to be biblical. Be free to be biblical. Ask for the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and don't quench the Holy Spirit because of bad teaching and fake people. Neither of those are God. They're just people messing up. They make mistakes. We all do. But we are not a dead church. Exercise the life that you've been given. Pray for the Holy Spirit to come. Move in our church. Move in our valley. We want to be the army of the Lord that walks in the life and Spirit of God and takes this valley because life is coming back. And in verse 10, Ezekiel prophesies as he was commanded, and the breath came. Because let's not forget that God wants to come. God wants to come. We are the temple of the Lord, and He wants to fill it again and again and again. I love in verse 10 how they put it, that the army lived and were an exceedingly great army. Did you know that that is what the church is supposed to be today? The sign of life was in the standing. Are we a standing army ready to take ground? We are meant to be an exceedingly great army that moves forward, that takes ground, that takes this valley, that takes the promises of God in your life. I'll do a plug for life groups. They're important. Because it's like a special unit, a small unit that helps you step into the promises of God for your life. If you aren't signed up, then sign up. I like to promote life groups because I know they make a difference. I was telling someone this morning that I'll be visiting different life groups. I hope to make it to all of them. And I like that. I love getting to be with all of our church. But part of that is I miss out on being with a small group all the time. Thankfully, I have that in other ways, but it's such an important thing. It's such a wonderful thing. You should want the community of God because this is your army. This is your army. We are meant to be an exceedingly great army. But that happens when we unify. Ask the Spirit of God to come. We need to be asking more to unify the churches of the valley. Because in Acts 2, it says they were all in one accord, and the Spirit of God fell. And watch this, they added to the church daily. Church, that is what we want. That's who we want to be. We want to add to the church daily. To see people getting saved, to see people excited that God is in this place. And to see those people discipled, to see those people filled with the Holy Spirit. That is us as a church. That is where we are going. And I pray that we would never lose sight of that. When we see the hand of the Lord moving, we respond. When we hear the voice of the Lord, we are obedient. And the Spirit of the Lord moves. It's point number three, the Spirit of the Lord. God gives the interpretation of this vision here, what is being seen, and it is the desire of the Lord. In verse 11, it says, the bones are the whole house of Israel. So this is referring to Israel. And it was somewhat accomplished, because remember, this is prophetic literature, in the return from Babylon. But it won't be fully accomplished until the return of Christ. And we can apply this principle to the church today, though, that God wants the whole church to come together. I heard a joke the other day that some people went to heaven, and they were getting a tour. And in this tour, they were having a great time, just amazed, and they got to a point, and they said, oh, we got to be really quiet here. They think they're the only ones here. It's a few laughs. And thank God for the grace that we all get it wrong sometimes. We all get it wrong sometimes. But it's the whole house of Israel coming together, and they confess. They recognize where they are or have been, and they repent. And that's a message to the church as individuals and a church. Let's repent for not stepping into everything that God has for us. And when we do that, we regain hope. We regain hope for what God wants to do, what he is working on right now. It says, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, we are cut off. And church, if you didn't know, it is okay to express your feelings to God. It takes strength to do that. You don't want to dwell there. You don't want to stay there and let everyone know that you remain there. But after you express those things to God, remember, he brings life. God leads to life, and he plans life. Verse 12 says, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land. God has promises for you. This is talking about the promised land. He wants to bring you back to where you belong. And when you feel like you are in a grave, God has a habit of ripping graves open. He is the grave robber, the ultimate one. Again, this is a promise to Israel of what God is going to do, but the principle here is that nothing is ever too far gone. If God gave you a promise, he gave you a vision, he gave you a dream, it's because he can come in at any moment and bring it to life. The person you've been praying for, that thing that's been on your heart, the healing, whatever it is, church, it is not too late. I know people that have been praying for years and decades for things. And suddenly, one day, it happened. That person came to the Lord. That person got their healing. That dream, that desire, whatever it is, came true. It had been a desire of mine for a long time, for probably 20 years, to release some type of worship music. And it was such a dead dream, it never really got started. I knew it was never the right time. And about 5 years ago, we felt like maybe God was leading it to start. So it restarted about 5 years ago. And then 2 years ago, we actually started working on it. That's a lot of time. Until finally Friday, we released the songs from our church of worship and praise. But watch this. It came to life in a place, this place, that had been prophesied over for its worship. Before I was ever here, they've experienced incredible times of worship in the past. We build and we stand on that. But God knows the perfect time for everything to be put together. So that thing that you see in the distance, that sometimes you don't even know you should hope for, God can bring life to it when we invite him in. Because watch this, in verse 13 it says, then you shall know that I am the Lord. When we release things and let God do it, he gets the glory from it. We know that it is just him that does it. We invite him in and he comes because he will get the glory. And in verse 14, it says this, I will put my spirit in you and you shall live and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. We receive the Holy Spirit first at salvation. But church, that is not where it ends. The word Paul uses in Ephesians 5:18 that says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. That word filled means literally to keep being filled. Because how many of you know we need refreshing in the Lord? We need to be refreshed that our goals in Jesus can be accomplished. The things that are set before us, we can be emboldened by the Holy Spirit to accomplish because he's bringing life back to us. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Acts 4:31 says, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now, in context, this is Christians praying, people who already knew Jesus, and they were filled again and spoke with boldness. Our boldness comes from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. How you can accomplish the things in your life that you are meant for are accomplished in the Holy Spirit. The breath of God breathing on you. Do you need boldness this morning to solidify that it will be done? These bones can come to life and this army can stand. If you need life in a situation, it's the life that you already carry in you and the Holy Spirit wants to refresh on you. You pray for that life, you expect it, and you walk in it. And the dead areas are raised. As the worship and prayer teams come, can we stand across this place? It's easier to respond if we're already standing. This passage, again, won't be fulfilled until the return of Christ in its fullness. But we take these principles and we apply them. That we have areas in our life that need to come back to life. Could be a dream, it could be a vision, it could be a desire that the Lord has planted in you, it could be for healing, it could be anything that the Lord is doing in you. And he's saying to you right now, I am life, and I will cause to live what I have said will live. So I want to invite you this morning, if there is an area in your life that you want to bring to the Lord and say, revive this, then I want you to come to the altar and expect him to revive it. Speak to your situation that Jesus is life and we are inviting Jesus in. We're inviting the Holy Spirit to lead. And of course, if you do not know Jesus, then please come down to the front and we will introduce you to the life giver this morning. But if that's you, then don't wait. Come down now. If you need to receive life, or even if you have not experienced a dream from the Lord, let's dare to dream in God this morning. Then let's expect him to do things that are inconceivable. Because I'll tell you this, you are in this place, this church, this valley, for such a time as this. Let's meet with the inconceivable God this morning and let him bring life. Let's go back into worship.